we are not very soft to these watches. We hit them with the hammer, we put them in very salty solutions, put them under pressure, you know, up to 15 bars. We put them in an oven to and hit them up to, I don't know, 37 degrees and then shock them in cold water.
Hi everyone, and welcome to Partners in Time, Watches and Wonders series. My name is Justin Hast, and as you know by now, I'm on a journey to share as much as I can about the brand new Ingenieur collection launched this week in Geneva. After kicking off the podcast series with IWC's Chief Design Officer, Christian Knoop, we are moving from design to engineering. I'm incredibly proud to welcome Mr. Walter Volpers as my guest for the second episode. He's the Design Manufacturing Director at IWC and will shed some light on the development process from concept through to prototype to the final product, as well as the technical aspects of this incredible Ingenieur. As always, thank you so much for listening and I really hope you enjoy the episode. Walter, welcome to the podcast. I've already given a short introduction, but give us a quick overview for those who aren't aware of what you do at IWC. Tell us a little bit what your days and your weeks look like at work.
Yeah, hi, Justin. Great to be here. Thanks for having me. I hope you're also as well as I am. Now, concerning my person, well, that's a long story. I've been working for IWC 13 years. The first 5 years, I was responsible for the purchasing department and the planning department for the components of all our manufacturing movements. And 5 years later, I moved to product management, where I spent the last 8 years. And since the 1st of March, I've changed to the position of manufacturing director, which means that I'm responsible for all the production. It's been changing a lot, definitely, and I've had great challenges. And one of the most amazing time at IWC was the product management time, which means the last 8 years. So on a daily basis, wow. What I do is, you know, just bringing the dream to the wrist.
So you're the man that actually ultimately makes it all happen. I mean, you know, it's one thing to talk about the marketing department. It's one thing to talk about the logistics, but ultimately, you're the guy that actually puts it all together, gets it there, and it without you, it really wouldn't happen.
Yeah, well, that is correct in the sense that it's a team of amazing people bringing the dreams to the wrist. I also like to say we sometimes are the destroyer of dreams. You know, whenever there's a great idea and you want to implement it immediately, and then you have to cope with some realities, and sometimes you don't want to hear those realities. But it's true. It's a great job. It makes me very happy, and I'm also like a kid in a candy store. You know, I'm the first to that gets to see the prototypes, and that's what makes the job really amazing.
Walter, two questions. Number one, how big is your team? Because I totally appreciate and respect the fact that your immediate thought is to actually your team. And secondly, as the product guy, what are you wearing on your wrist? What's the IWC that gets the most wrist time?
Well, my team is 10 people big, so including myself. So it's 9 people taking care of all the products, and I try to coordinate and you know, make sure that they have enough room to develop not only the products but themselves. And on my wrist right now, I have an Ingenieur with a Genta design, actually. This is the Laureus edition. We have the Sport for Good Foundation, where we every year bring a watch with this special DNA with the blue dial and some red elements on the watch. And I got actually number 49 out of 1,500. Amazing watch.
Wow. Wow. I love the Laureus Foundation. In fact, I've tried for years to volunteer because for me, there are two loves in life. It's watches and sport. And the idea of bringing joy, happiness, opportunity to people through sport is one of the great ideas. And I would love to do something with them down the line, but as of yet, not been able to. But the watches, of course, that come out in partnership with Laureus is fantastic. But wearing an Ingenieur on the wrist. So huge congratulations. What a year. What a launch. We're here at the show. And I can already feel that people are getting a real buzz for the Ingenieur. So give us a quick lowdown then, Walter, of when you first heard about the idea of bringing this Genta 70s Ingenieur back.
Well, this is, you know, developing a watch, it takes, depending on the complexity of the case and the movement, if it's available or not, can take between 2 and 5 years. And to be honest, for this Ingenieur, I've heard already 3 to 5 years ago, we started with the idea of bringing, renewing the engineer. You know, this is, it's a process. It tends to be less romantic than what the people think. You know, it's really a process where you start analyzing your portfolio, where you see how is your revenues developing, and where you see also the product life cycle of the products, and then you start analyzing, doing benchmarkings, and you start on a strategic point of view. You set a roadmap for the years to come. So, for example, right now I'm already thinking on the watches that we will be launching in 2 to 3 years from now. So, yeah, that is like a standard process for us. But this engineer was very particular because we knew that it's an icon, and you have to be very, very careful how to bring an icon, how to revive an icon, how to bring it back to the market.
And you've mentioned the fact that sometimes you can be the killer of dreams in your team.
Correct.
Do you remember the first conversation when Mr. Knoop or someone from the design team maybe said, or maybe the commercial team said, hey, you know what, this is what we're going to do. What was your first response? And what were the things in your mind that you needed to get straight before you could say, yes, we're going to do this?
Well, the first one was, you know, the construction of the case. As you know, we have now a functional bezel. So the screws that you see on top of it are functional. So they're holding down the bezel and the glass. And at the beginning, there was no clear solution. So we were looking for different ways of bringing a case which is very functional, you know, that entitles the word engineering, that has no compromise in terms of functionality or performance or quality or what have you. So we started doing some workshops and analyzing possibilities on constructing the case, and we came with solutions, you know, by, you know, let's close the case back. So we only have a two-component case, so right now we have a three-component case. We have case back, a case ring, and the bezel, which is now screwed down with the five screws on top of that. So we thought, let's do a two-case construction, but by closing the case back, so assembling everything from the top. And there's when the idea was amazing. Everybody was very happy about that. But then we found out that we had to change a lot of processes and ways of manufacturing that are not, you know, are not going to push forward our competence and in quality and perfection. So that's when we had to, you know, drop down that idea and start from scratch. And, you know, bringing a perfect, you know, this design is very sculptural. It's like somebody's making this by hand. And to get that, you need perfect proportions and perfect decorations. And there you have, you know, how do you industrialize that? So making the prototype is an easy thing, but making it in big quantities, that is a big challenge. And so we had to kill some ideas and some dreams, so to speak, in the case construction already. Mm-hmm. And another thing was the dial. I mean, we had to bring something with a lot of depth, you know, to make the watch very three-dimensional and show the beauty and the technology and what is feasible today. And I mean, we did 127 prototypes at least, just on colors, to find the right color with the right decoration. So to get, you know, this look which gives the depth together with the indices and everything. And it took a lot of time to get those 127 dials up to life and then choosing the right one.
Sorry, Walter, you say 127 variations a dot?
At least, yeah. At least.
Wow, unbelievable. That must have been something.
Yeah.
And all of those you still got, do you ever, just to bring some smart joy to your day, do you ever open your desk drawer and see them all there and reminisce over the challenge that you've overcome?
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. It's like every time I look at them, it's like one gray hair more.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So you talked about the fact that there was a top-down construction or the consideration for that initially. Mm-hmm. How's this Ingenieur development differed from other collections? If so, has it been a slightly different approach? Have you had to take on new skill sets? Have you had to adjust the process in certain ways?
I would say, and it's rather not a very interesting answer, but actually no, because we have you know, very good processes to bringing watches to the market, and they are, we've introduced this agile product development process already about 6 years ago, and it has proven to be the right recipe for bringing tough constructions, you know. So we differentiate somehow between easy to bring, or is it, you know, where the time to market is easier based on the construction of a case. So if you look, for example, at the Portofino case or a Pilot case, that is on the construction side, it's a little bit easier compared to an Aqua Timer or this Engineer. You know, we have this very ergonomic strap that has this middle link, which is also very special, that is changed in the design from the original Genta design. And that is a big challenge there. So the difficulty comes when you start, when you bring it to life, when you have the prototypes and you encounter different, you know, problems that need to be engineered or reassessed in order to manage also the processes, you know. So again, bringing the prototype is easy, and then bringing the watch to serial production, that is actually the tough thing. And the more complicated the case and the construction, and of course such things like integrated bracelets, that makes the challenge bigger. But it's an amazing challenge, definitely. I mean, it makes a lot of fun.
And you mentioned over 120 plus dials. How many prototypes do you make for the case and for the bracelet?
Yeah, you know, because we are engineers and we address this in a proper way, I would say, we tend to, I would say, prototype in different phases. For example, we got a case ring, so we got about 12 different case rings. I would just get, this is just number guessing, I don't count them, you know, but it's about 12 case rings, and then we did about, I don't know, 25 bezels or this case ring. So and then you match the case ring with the bezel. So you know, you make it like a Lego, so that you can assemble them, and then you see the different looks and designs and decorations of the bezels and what works best and what doesn't work better with some iterations. For example, our beautiful Aqua Dial, it is a new color that we're introducing this year with the Engineer. It's a beautiful color, and this is, for example, it does match very well with a satiné bracelet, but when you have the polished inner links of the bracelet, and that brings the whole color and brings the watch a lot more to life. And that's when you can do that by iterating and you know, trying on case backs. We also did many different case backs. I was at 8 or 9 different ways of engraving, you know, putting the relief engraving or just a standard engraving, and all that kind of details that need to work perfectly. And it's a very iterative process where you take it from one step to the next. So once you design something and you decide it, and you prototype it and you see, well, it looks good, but it could be better, and you try another thing, then it becomes even better. And that's how you increase. It's an incremental process of bringing this cultural design to life.
Wow. Unbelievable. And without going too geeky on us, what sort of machinery are you using for this process, for the prototyping? Are you using 3D printers?
Well, 3D printers are not yet in the sense of the technology to bring the watch directly from 3D printing to a useful product or component. Normally, if you do 3D printing, you need to rework the piece, and that's why we decided not to go with 3D printing. But we did do some 3D printed bracelets. So you can imagine, this is an amazing technology. I love it because normally a bracelet has about 200 components. I don't know if you know that, but this bracelet, they have almost as many components as a movement. Huh? So this bracelet has about 220 components. And you can print that all together at once without having to assemble the bracelet. Can you imagine? So if you have like the pins between the H-link and the middle links assembling or putting all together or getting all together, and you can print that directly. If we would have a perfect or the quality that IWC sets for its stamp pieces immediately from the 3D printer, that would be like amazing. And trust me, we're looking very deep into these kind of technologies every time that we develop one of the watches or any kind of reference. And here we try that on the bracelet, and it's not meeting our quality criteria, but so that's why we decided to go with conventional milling and grinding and drilling machines.
Wow. And of course, we've got references, which you touched on. We've got the steel references. And then, of course, we've got the fourth, which is titanium. How does the process differ in terms of the production side of things between the two materials?
Yeah, that's I don't want to get very geeky, but that, I mean, to put it very bluntly, it's the same if you use steel or titanium. But the detail is rather in the tooling that you're using and the programs you use in the machine. So maybe titanium needs to be milled on a different speed with special tooling that makes the surface look similar. It's also a case of what kind of titanium you use. So we're using titanium grade 5, which differs from the titanium grade 2 in the sense that you can polish it better. But the biggest challenge with titanium is that it can ignite itself depending on the temperature. So if you're milling a case and you don't pay attention, you don't have enough cooling solution in the machine, it can start burning. So yeah, this is definitely something you do not want to have that on the production, right? A fire in the machine. I think the challenge is more like the quality of the material and everything. The other thing is it's detail. But at the end, construction-wise, there's nothing you need to look at that. It's different when you look at precious metals. So if we were to make an engineer in red gold, that would be a different thing. That there you need a different construction.
Are you giving away the next steps, Walter, for next year's Engineer? No, not yet. So that's number 5, titanium, grade 5 titanium.
Exactly.
How many different numbers are there? How many different types of titanium are there that you could potentially be using?
Well, from all the titaniums we use, of course, you have different alloys. You can use, for example, titanium aluminide, which is a very, you know, if you can imagine, steel is easy to mill and grind. Titanium is like double difficulties. And then if you bring titanium aluminate, like an order of magnitude more difficult, because this material doesn't want to change its form. So it's very difficult to do that. And we have had in the past engineer watches with titanium aluminate. So we do know the technology, the material. We know how to work or use that material. We know, apart from this titanium aluminide and the grade 5 and the grade 2, the ceratanium, of course. That's actually a titanium alloy too that has zirconium in there. So the zirconium gives the black color after putting in or firing it up in a furnace. So these are like the 4 kinds of titanium. And if you put on the ease of production, so grade 2 would be like the easiest, but you cannot do much on decoration. Then you have the grade 5, which is very similar to steel. You can do practically everything. Also on polished surfaces and everything. Titanium aluminide is more like grade 2, but it's more difficult to manipulate or handle. And then you have ceratanium, which is like the most difficult material to get into shape.
And just to be clear, we've not had any spontaneous combustion going on with titanium cases in the manufacture.
I would say not with grade 2 and grade 5.
I love that. That says to me you've had some in the past with other grades.
Yeah, exactly.
Walter, tell me. Moving on from the case, of course, which we've learnt about now, the bracelet, which is a really a piece of art by itself. Tell us a little bit about the caliber, because we haven't discussed that yet.
Yeah, we're using the caliber 32,000. So it's concretely it's the 32,111. It's a caliber that has 5-day power reserve, so 120 hours. And it's been recently introduced at IWC, and we're very proud of this caliber. It's a very good quality. It's an amazing watch. It's very thin and allows us to do this kind of, you know, very functional watches with a perfect aesthetic like the Engineer 40 millimeters.
5 days obviously is tremendous, because the last thing you want you not to be able to wear it for a week solid.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this 120 hours, to reach 120 hours power reserve is not an easy thing. You know, it's because the movement, it's all about preservation of energy. If you look at another standard watches, they have, they have about 70 hours, 72 hours. Yeah, I would say everything between 60 and 80 hours. If you look at also at the competition, they also have like that. But we have 120 hours. So I think that is very special.
F.A. Jones's vision for IWC is production, you know, efficient volume production. How do you go from the prototypes that you've signed off in your hand to then ramping up production? Because, of course, that's one of the great challenges when you're dealing with something of this kind, to go from accepting what you're going to produce and then actually ramping it up into real life.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of experience behind that. You know, it starts actually that when you do a prototype, you try to do it with the same company that will probably deliver the serial components. That way you can start clarifying all the feasibility concerning, you know, tolerances and exactitude and quality that you get there. Sometimes it's feasible, sometimes it's not feasible. But normally we try to push for that. So once you get the right prototyping company, and you get then, you know, all technical side, we call it the general feasibility check. That's where all people sit together, the production, the assembly, the customer service, and they analyze all the components and the construction, and they sit together and we think of all the possibilities, all the things that can go wrong, and you try to prevent them by introducing different, you know, helps, like, I don't know, some toolings to assemble it more easier, or, you know, purchasing bigger quantities to have a more stable, you know, a stable quality. So if you make like production sizes of, I don't know, two times 200, or so you get the 400, but it's better to go ahead and do 400 immediately, because then the quality will be more stable. You know, once you fire up the machine and it starts producing the components, then you have a stability, and then you can better, you know, the quality is better on that stability.
Yeah.
And also for the assembly.
From the general assembly, the general visibility meeting, how long then for this Ingenieur series did you then go into production?
First, you have the prototype finalized, right, and approved. Once the prototype is approved by all the entities that are responsible for that, you go into the finalizing the construction and all the technical drawings, and into the visibility check, where we go with the same, try to go with the same suppliers that did the prototyping, right? So after that, it takes about, depending on the supply chain or depending on the supplier, between 5 and 7 months of production and delivery. And once you have all the components here, which is the zero series, then you, of course, need to do all the testing, right? So you do something what we call initial inspection. So we actually measure the all components. So can you imagine a bridge, the main bridge or the main platine of a movement has about 300 requirements, qualitative requirements, and we measure every single one of them. And once we approve that and we say, okay, this is matching our requirements, which are written down in a technical drawing, then you go into the homologation, what we call. Homologation is actually a testing. So we have like about 30 different tests to prove that the construction is correct. And we are not very soft to these watches. We throw them, we hit them with the hammer, we put them in very salty solutions, we put them under pressure, you know, up to 10, 12, 15 bars. We put them in an oven and hit them up to, I don't know, 37 degrees, and then shock them in cold water.
Shock them.
Exactly, to see how the water tightness is working on that. and this costs about 3 months. So it's exactly, so it's like 7 months of production. Then you have, you know, like half a month of testing of quality checking or controlling, and then a month of assembly, and then you go 3 months on homologation. And once all this is approved, then you can start doing the serial production. In the meantime, of course, what you also do is you're industrializing the production, right? So you need to learn. So there's a ramp up, and in this ramp up, when you start producing the higher quantities, you learn what can I do fast, what can I, what is not working very well, what causes, you know, if there's some breach in the way that you could scratch another component, what you try to do is, you know, eliminate that kind of issues throughout the production. And then you have, of course, then I would say six months into the launch, you would be in a very stable development, or in a very stable serial production, sorry.
Absolutely fascinating. Thank you very much for sharing that, Walter. Now, just to conclude, I'm going to do the quick fire round for you. So we've got three questions, quick fire round. Could you describe the Ingenieur in three words?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Time's ticking.
Yeah, there are some.
Time's ticking.
Okay. Engineering, ergonomics, and cultural.
What's your favorite detail about the new Ingenieur?
The grid dial and the aqua color.
Final question. What's your favorite color from the four?
The aqua color, exactly.
Walter, thank you so much. As always, it's such a pleasure seeing you and hearing from you. Congratulations. Your team have done a spectacular job, and truly it's going to be wonderful to see how people react in the coming days and weeks.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Justin, for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Walter.